like to read, first of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Book of the prophet Isaiah, on page 895. Chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. And then in the New Testament, I'd like to read in Luke in chapter 8. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, page 1235. And we read from verse 43, and a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who having spent all her living on physicians and could not be cured by anyone, coming up touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. And Jesus said, Who has touched me? But all denying, Peter and those with him said, Master, the crowds close upon thee in, and press upon thee, and sayest thou, Who has touched me? Jesus said, Someone has touched me, for I have known that power hath gone out from me. And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, Be of good courage, daughter, for thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace. And in John's Gospel, chapter 3, page 1268, John chapter 3 and verse 1. But there was a man from among the Pharisees, his name Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. He came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art come a teacher from God, and none can do these signs that thou doest unless God be with him. And then in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. And in the Gospel, again in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 12, in verse 29, And ye seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, and be not in anxiety, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that ye have need of these things, but seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it has been the good pleasure of your Father to give for you the kingdom. Sell what ye possess, and give alms, and make for yourselves purses, which do not grow old, a treasure which does not fail in the heavens, where thief does not draw near, nor moth destroy, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. I don't know how many of you made a New Year's resolution this year. It seems to be quite a common practice to do. If you're anything like me, you find very shortly that it doesn't last. Maybe for a good intention. But what I want to draw your attention tonight to is something which is far greater and far lasting. Writer in Isaiah, the prophet, says, Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The opportunity, friend, is available to you tonight. Just as relevant as it was when it was written all those years ago, some 2,500 years ago, was a need to seek Jehovah, need to seek God. Where we read in the New Testament, we read of two persons who sought the Saviour. For different reasons, I agree, but they sought the Saviour. And what about you, friend? There is a way, you know, that you can view the gospel in its wondrous grace, that Jesus is seeking you. He says somewhere, he comes to seek sinners, to call them to repentance. And that's persons like you and me. Wonderful grace. That the God against whom you and I have sinned has sent his beloved Son here to seek you. Well, I read, the suggestion is that you should seek him. Both are applicable. Both are necessary, friend, for you to come into blessing. And that's the object of the glad tidings, is that you might come into blessing, God's blessing, through his beloved Son. The same, didn't we? Which was there my Saviour suffered. The cross, in all its shame and ignominy, and yet it has a wonderful glory too. It's where my Saviour suffered. The one we read about in the New Testament, the one who was referred to, you might say, by the prophet, seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. The opportunity is today, friend. Scripture makes it very clear. Today, if you hear his voice, oh, do not harden your heart, keep it open. To hear the word of the Saviour tonight, that's towards you in all its love and tenderness and desire and appeal. What a wonderful appeal there is in the glad tidings. Come unto me, all ye who labour, and I will give you rest. That's the Saviour we can proclaim to you tonight, friend. The one you are to seek, yes. You need to come to the Saviour yourself. And this scripture tells us very simply the way you come. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Yes. We can tell you about a God who is a forgiving God. Yes. But there's a way to get forgiveness, a way of repentance. It's in one sense very simple, and yet you may be like me, you find it very hard sometimes. But you think of the illustration that the Lord Jesus gives of the young man who went away to a far country and he came back and his father ran to receive him. That's the sort of reception, friend, you can have from God tonight as you come back in repentance. As you come in repentance. I say not necessarily come back, but come in repentance. Because you have to make a move. God is seeking you, but he wants you to seek him too. So we find this woman in Luke. She was in need. And that's a first thing to come to, my friend, is that you've got a need. You've got a need because you're a sinner. I had a need and because I was a sinner. Come to Christ tonight, friend. This woman had a need. Hers was physical. She had a flux of blood, it says. And she was therefore, in the era that she lived, she would have been considered ceremonially unclean. She wouldn't have been able to come to any place of religious worship at all because of her condition. But she knew the Saviour. She'd heard about him. You may have heard about the Saviour, friend. Mm-hmm. Have you come to him? This woman, she came. We don't know who she was. We're not given her name. Luke is a bit like that. You know, he speaks of certain men and certain women. And you can put yourself there. How lovely it is. But she comes in all her need. And she knew where to come. And that's the important thing, friend. If you have a need, friend, come to the Saviour. He's able to meet that need. And tonight, what we're speaking about is the need of your sins being washed away. This woman, as I said, had a need. And what does it say? She'd spent all her living on physicians and could not be cured by anyone. Luke is very kind, you know. He was a physician himself. One of the other gospel writers says, It had only got worse. Luke doesn't tell us that. She touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. Friend, when you come to the Saviour in repentance tonight, those sins can be forgiven immediately. There's no time of probation or anything of that nature. If you come in repentance, as we've said, seeking Jehovah, you come in repentance towards him. And those sins can be washed away in his precious blood. We'll speak about that. We might as well speak about it now. At Calvary, you know, my friend, as the writer puts it in that hymn, he tasted death for me. Yes, he did. And do you know why? Because you and I could do nothing about the condition we're in and are in as sinners. God can't have sin in his presence. And you and I could do nothing. Jesus came to this scene here as a man in wondrous grace, but sin apart. In him, Scripture tells me, sin was not. There was no sin attached to my Saviour friend. Scripture tells me that he who knew not sin, he made sin. God, in that way, made the Saviour the one who would suffer for sin. You think about it. He suffered the just for the unjust. What a Saviour. And that precious blood, friend, that was shed at Calvary, which John records for us as a soldier pierced his side, and out came blood and water. That blood is sufficient to meet your need, your sins, and wash them away. It's sufficient to meet the need of the sins of everyone in this world. All 7 billion of them, is it? 7 billion of persons there are in this world tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse every one. There's none too bad to be saved. Don't put yourself outside of the realm of God's wonderful grace by thinking you're too bad. You only have to read in Timothy to find one who writes and says that he was the chief of sinners. He says there, the word is acceptable. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Yes, my friend, that's why Jesus came. Came for persons like you and me. Persons in need. Persons like this woman. Yes, he met her need. But he met more than her physical need. I believe he met a spiritual need as well. He says, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace. That's how you go, friend. Your faith. Well, you say, I haven't got much faith. I haven't got any faith. Faith is a gift of God. God delights to give you faith, that you might accept the work of his beloved Son at Calvary's cross. Work that was perfect in every way. God has been fully satisfied in Jesus. And that work is complete. The last verse of the hymn we sang to start with, the Lord is risen. Yes. That's the proof to me, and I trust it will be to you, of the perfection of that work at Calvary, that God was fully satisfied in every way. Never to be repeated again, you know. That work was once and for all, and it can meet your need tonight. Met this woman in all her need. She says there was nothing hidden. She came trembling before him and declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him. She'd come in secretly, you might say. Yes, she had. She came and she thought, if only I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be saved. And she did, and she was saved. That was faith. If you come in all your simplicity, friend, and in faith, and you accept what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary's cross for you, he went that way for you as an individual. He went that way for me. That's why we sang that hymn. 'Twas there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. Yes, indeed, my friend. Scripture tells me the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the judgment of God in relation to sin. Because of the work of Christ at Calvary's cross, you can be forgiven. Know what it is to have peace with God. This woman went away in peace. Peace in her soul. Nicodemus, we told about. Given his name. An interesting man, you know. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and he came by night. He was afraid to come openly to the Saviour. But he came all the same, and he sought the Saviour. You might say it was out of curiosity. But one thing that's recorded that makes it absolutely clear that he got the benefit of that visit was that when the Lord Jesus had been crucified, it was Nicodemus that came with Joseph of Arimathea and took care of the body of my Saviour. That illustrates beautifully the affection and love for one who came by night initially. I didn't read everything in that chapter. It's so full. In fact, it would be beyond me to speak about it. But I just read those few verses, particularly from verse 14. Down to 17. Because I believe it illustrates most wonderfully to us the way that the Saviour met this man in all his need. Nicodemus had a need, he didn't realise what it was. The woman realised what the need was that she'd got, and she came to the Saviour. Nicodemus didn't really realise what his need was. Initially the Lord spoke to him about new birth, and it was a complete mystery to him. But I believe it wasn't very long before he became a reality. But one thing the Lord Jesus tells him, which isn't recorded anywhere else, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up. I wonder if you've ever read the section about that in Numbers, where the children of Israel murmured. And who of us hasn't murmured? One more of us. God sent fiery serpents amongst the people, bit the people, and many persons died as a result of it. And Nicodemus would have known that because he was the ruler of the people. But the Lord Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, that was a serpent of brass, was what Moses was told to do. Moses did it. He made a serpent of brass on a pole. And it says, you know, that those that looked lived. And that's the same today for you and me. I think that's what that's why it's here in this scripture. Lord Jesus doesn't actually quote exactly what happened there in Numbers, but Nicodemus would have known the scripture. He was a teacher. He would have known it accurately. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up. The serpent was lifted up, and as I said, everyone who looked lived. The Lord Jesus has been lifted up. Lifted up onto a cross. It couldn't have been done at any other time. The Jewish method of death was stoning. But it had been prophesied long before that my Saviour was going to be crucified. And yet, when it was prophesied, it was possibly not even being known. And yet, he was there to be lifted up between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross of wood. Man did their worst. What does the Lord Jesus say? Lay not this sin to their charge. Father, forgive them. Sorry. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What grace. The same grace that's towards you tonight. That everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Now, my friend, do you believe? That's a question tonight for you to answer yourself. I'm not asking you to stand up and answer it for me, but answer it in your own heart. Do you believe? Everyone who believes may not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, the God against whom you and I have sinned, so loved the world, and he sent his own beloved Son, it's the one we've been speaking about, the wonderful Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Well, friend, have you believed? I think it would be right to say that Nicodemus believed. Doesn't tell us that, but as I said, his actions afterwards indicated he did. It's a wonderful thing to be a believer, friend, to put your faith and trust in the Saviour. One who's died for you, given his life, he's given everything. But he wants that you might have joy in believing. Where we read in the end, last scripture in Luke 12, it says, seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. And it goes on to speak about having treasure in heaven. I just want to conclude with just a thought on that, for what we need to seek. Initially, seek Jehovah while he may be found. Yes, friend, that's what you need to do, and get initial and free salvation tonight, and have peace in your soul. But you've got to carry on here afterwards. We have a record in Scripture of one who put their faith and trust in the Saviour and was in paradise the same day. The thief on the cross. That's not the portion of very many. Most of us are left here to walk in this scene. And this word I thought perhaps was appropriate. Seek his kingdom and all these things shall be added to you. There's a verse in Romans which I expect Mr. Bond has often drawn your attention to. That the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the help that we have as believers, the Holy Spirit to help us to enter into these wonderful things. And they're something we can see for the remainder of the time in which we're left here. That we might have treasure in heaven. Treasure which does not fail in the heaven, where thief does not draw near, nor moth destroy. Where your treasure is, therefore, there also will your heart be. Well, friend, where is your heart tonight? Has it been appealed to? God would appeal to your heart afresh tonight, that you might come and trust his wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's died at Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood, that you might be set free, that your sins can be washed away, never to be remembered again, friend. No, it's absolutely certain from Scripture that your transaction with the Saviour is once and everything is settled. But keep accounts up to date. You know, the Scripture which I can remember being reminded of when I was quite young. Never let the sun go down on your wrath. Seek. Seek his kingdom and all these things shall be added to you. His kingdom, yes, the kingdom of God, spoken of as the kingdom of the heavens, but it was here in wonderful display when the Lord Jesus was here. He was the one who showed what it meant in the way of the kingdom of God. It was here in a person. And that person, dear friend, remains a man forever. He's there at God's right hand, glorified. He lives a man there, ever to intercede for us. What a wonderful Saviour we have. One who has died for us and lives again. Raised the third day. Oh, the wonder of the gospel, you know, is that we have to proclaim one who is living. It was said, I'll just say it in closing, it was said of one well-known person in the New Testament, there were certain questions concerning a certain Jesus who is dead, that Paul affirms to be living. That's the one we proclaim tonight. It's the only Saviour of sinners, the one who's died and risen again, one who ever lives to intercede. He wants you, my friend, as one who's put their faith and trust in him. May you do so. His name's